Welcome back to the Power Hour. Our next guest is, I love James McKinney, of course, but he's my favorite, and Daniel Esselin is right up there, right next to him. I just love talking to Daniel. Daniel Esselin is world-renowned for his conceptual, architectural perspective, and his connections with intelligence, his connections with just the way he looks at the world. It's fantastic. He is the author, of course, of In the Shadows of a Presidency, all about Donald Trump, the beginning of his ascension to the office, and the whatever you call it, fight to the death that is going on behind the scenes, and that we see just the tip of the iceberg on the media, and we're seeing it more and more every day. Daniel Esselin, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Wonderful to be on your show again. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yes, of course. I'm going to give a little introduction. The first thing I want to talk about is a question that comes up to me a lot, but let me give you a little background. My perspective on America, this is America to me. The pilgrims, whatever, they came to this country, they had a deep religious concept of themselves and a project for a new type of society. They saw what happened in Europe, they certainly saw what happened with the Catholic Church, they wanted none of it. Out of this grew almost obsession with an individual responsibility and a connection to the Creator. Out of that came a political movement, the political movement which led to the Revolution, which led people like Samuel Adams. It wasn't that we disagree with King George. King George is offending God, because we are connected to God, and we are responsible to God, and we're responsible to our fellow man because of our connection to God. And out of that grew the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, all men created equal, endowed by their Creator." No country in the world has done this. They, by law, we signify and we mark the point that where by our Creator our rights come. Government is below the people. The people are connected to God, and the government is below the people, and the Constitution is there to hold us in our place. That, to me, the Bill of Rights, part of that, that Christian ethic, that dominion of the Bible, that is the beginning of this country. Of course, now we're 200 and some years later. We, of course, politically seen that wane. We have seen the Bill of Rights abrogated. We see in this impeachment completely ignored, the Sixth Amendment. Somebody's anonymous accusing the president, blah, 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 on and on. Where are the Christians with all these issues? All of this. I want to get your thoughts on all of this. And the basic question is, where are the frickin' Christians when all these moral political questions are coming up now?
To answer all these questions, what we need to do, we need to step back a little bit and look at Christianity conceptually. Now, after Christ, Christianity was not rewritten, it was rather created. The creation process lasted between 150 to 200 years, between the 3rd and 4th centuries AD, when a corpus of literature was created and a hierarchy and territorial structure were built according to the model of the Roman Empire. Now, a biblical project was developed that was adequate to the new era. If before that, Daniel, in the Mediterranean basin, social control was external in nature, the main elements of the social control were the culture of shame, quote unquote, and external power control, such as the Egyptian model, which found maximum expression in the Roman Empire and also the Roman law. Then the changed conditions required more subtle and deeper and more internalized forms, no longer just social, but also psychological control from within, hence the culture of conscience. That is, the world and the man at the turn of the first millennia BC and first millennia AD were infinitely more complicated than that. Violence and force alone was simply not enough. Thus, the biblical project is a combination of internal and external subordination with the primacy of the first, and some of the functions of external submission were taken over by the Christian church, which is why so many social movements took the form of heresies. Now, by the end of the 15th century, the Catholic Church so compromised itself and heresies have so shaken its position that it was challenged by Protestantism, being a blow to Catholicism and opposing it in the heat up to the religious wars of the 16th century and first half of the 17th century. Protestantism paradoxically not only weakened but temporarily partially strengthened the biblical project. Why was that? Well, because firstly, Protestantism created a more modern, in terms of emphasis on money, on success, on selective election. In this regard, Protestantism is the most Judaized version of Christianity. Harder, more intransient, but also at the same time simpler form. And secondly, it became a kind of a vow for the exodus of the discontented from Pax Catholica, no? But again, that didn't last for too long. Time worked against both versions of Christianity, breaking away from orthodoxy. A new era was approaching for structural, also for reflective management, in which an institutionally formulated rational knowledge was needed, and that knowledge was science. And it is no accident that in France, the Jesuits contributed to the development of such knowledge, for example, in the person of Descartes. No? And then in the 18th and the early 19th centuries, the biblical project, which was cracking at the seams, survived yet another mutation. The Christian faith was discarded and proto-ideology first appeared in the form of a project of a British Masonic lodges, implemented mainly on French soil through what's known as the Enlightenment, and then ideology in its three basic forms, conservatism, liberalism, and Marxism. So these were already irreligious, that is, terminal forms of the biblical project, which simultaneously appeared both as a means of struggle and as a form of social control over the sharply complicated social environment of the time. As once the Christian priests pushed aside or destroyed the priesthood, as was the case in the territory in Russia in the 16th and the 17th centuries, so in the 18th to the 20th centuries, the Masons, ideologues of liberalism, Marxists, the Nazis, fell upon the Christian churches. And in general, it must be said that the initial complexity of Christianity, reflecting the complexity of European civilization of the late antiquity, elements of antiquity, Jewish and German traditions, for example, is at the same time its strength and its weakness, because complex composition can be disassembled into parts. Islam is one. It can only be cut into pieces, but Christianity is fraught with unexpected mutations. Christianity is fraught with Catholicism, Catholicism with Protestantism, and Protestantism with atheism. I would also add Freemasonry to that. And so this is basically one line. And so Catholicism is fraught with degeneration into non-priestly hierarchy, and is not the Pope, after adopting the dogma of infallibility, not the high priest of an essentially neo-pagan cult. It's just a question for the masses. And so the difficult relationship of Christianity, for example, and Judaism, already proclaimed by the Roman high priest as its elder brother. And is this elder brother the big brother? And someone will say, where does paganism come from? Well, Christianity is a monotheistic religion, but firstly, paganism is a negative label that the representatives of the Abrahamic religions attach to everything non-Abrahamic. And secondly, Judaists and Muslims can doubt on the firm sincerity of Christians in monotheism, the Trinity, the icon. So when you look at Christianity today, again, we can go back to the biblical projects based on the Ten Commandments. Currently, the biblical project has almost exhausted itself. The same can be said about the phenomenon of ideology. The world's elite are urgently looking for a replacement, and today we can see certain symptoms of this. So On the one hand, you have the shadow masters of the world game are deliberately destroying education and science, moving the first and second to closed structures, that is, the elite structures, which are taught one thing, and the great are washed, us, something else, and striving to turn the population to eternal adolescence, where culture is replaced or and substituted by comfort and a feeling of deep physical satisfaction. I'll give you two examples. American cinema and television. At one time, a journalist, D. Robinson, in the New York Times, and I talk about this in my book, The Tavistock Institute, he wrote in the New York Times, 1985 will go down in history as the darkest period in American cinema, he said. It was the year that Hollywood, after almost 70 years of dominance in the film industry, dropped all claims to serve the health intellect of an adult. And this is Tavistock Institute personified, and they have a far easier approach to TV shows. You must make television for ease of presentation for 11-year-old underdeveloped teens. And the consequence of that is what we see today, which is why your question, why are these questions being asked? Because they don't know how to.
Wow, you let it hang out there, and I'm hanging. I mean, I'm hanging.
I'll hang with you.
because that was an excellent overview of so many specific questions. You mentioned the schools. I am slaughtering these schools any chance I get because they're not teaching the ethics of America. They're teaching globalism. They're teaching that people that they don't even have a gender. They're teaching, 5-year-olds that their parents have lied to them about their gender. Gender is fluid. They can have abortion when they're 12 years old without their parents' knowledge. They're 10 years old and they're doing condom relay races in the school. Morality, self-identity, in a relation to something higher than themselves, situational morality is being taught, secular humanism is being taught. I mean, I don't, this is not America anymore. How can I come up with any other conclusion?
It's not necessary. It's not only America. I mean, again, look at it globally. What you're describing happens, or is happening in England, it's happening in France. It's taking place in Germany, in Italy, in Russia, in so many different countries, because again, it's all because today's world is one global liberal banking financier controlled world. So the value system has been destroyed. And once the value system has been destroyed, we go back to what I've always, said to you when you ask me, how do you want to finish the show? Today's society is destined to, to die for two very simple reasons, especially post-industrial society, is today's kids can't answer two basic questions. Why am I alive? And in the name of what am I prepared to die? And if you don't know why you're here, and exactly how and under what conditions you're willing to sacrifice your life for greater good, we don't stand a chance as society.
You brought up the banking sector, of course. Their influence cannot be understated when it comes to schools, even back to the Carnegie Foundation. You talked about Tavistock Institute. Charlotte Isherby is detailed Carnegie all the way up to present day. These schools have been an indoctrination center for a plan that the banking industry wants our children to think a certain way, and they don't want them to have any moorings. They don't want them to know any history. They don't want them to have any real morals, traditional American morals, and certainly the Bill of Rights and Declaration of Independence can't be anything that's important, and Thomas Jefferson is vilified while Antifa is proclaimed. I mean, this is the world we live in. And is this straight from the bankers, the top of the bankers? This is their orchestrated plan? Would that be too...
Well, it's not so much the bankers as the people behind the bankers, because in the end, banking is a tool. Money has no intrinsic value. It's the reason, again, we've had 1,500 years of conservative values. And since the 1970s, we're looking at only two generations of liberal banking financier values, which basically means today you can be one thing and tomorrow something else, which is why I don't understand when Eleanor, whatever her name is, the generous, very, very appropriate last name, by the way, okay, she sits down at a baseball game with George H.W. Bush and plays footsie or whatever it is that they were playing, and then, she doesn't understand understand. People are up in arms, and she doesn't understand what, you know, what the hoopla is all about. But it's about the fact that these people have no values. Today you can be a liberal, tomorrow you can be something else. The after tomorrow you can be a transgender. Then if you don't like that, next week, you know, you can be a dinosaur, and then 2 weeks from now a zebra. You know, and then go back to being whatever it is. Because again, liberalism is about not having a set of values. You can be anything you want. Which is why, again, it's so easy to control today's society, because and we're seeing it all over the world, not only in the United States, specifically in the Western world. And one of the struggles you see for control between East and West, between the United States, not the United States of Donald Trump, because Trump, again, I explained it many times before, and people don't quite understand. They say, well, Trump is American president. No, he's not. Trump was elected in the United States. Yes, he is. But if you have to sit at this global power round table where it says United States, who is going to sit at that chair? The people who control America today is not Donald Trump. If he controlled America, he wouldn't be, you know, going through this silly impeachment process. Why? Because the country is controlled by the liberal banking financier establishment. And this is not Democrats. This is an entire establishment. This is the DeGeneres, this is the Bushes, this is the Clintons, the Romneys, and McCain's. Well, he's dead now, but anyway, you know what I mean? It's a global financial structure. So Trump can't represent the United States because that chair is for somebody who controls the country, and unfortunately doesn't control the country enough. It wouldn't be a problem if the United States wasn't a democracy, but a dictatorship. There's something to be said for that. You could just shoot all these people and get rid of them, but you can't do that in a democracy, allegedly. And that's the problem we have today globally. Democracy, or I should say liberalism, is not going to prevail because the whole system is based on infinite growth. And you can't grow infinitely because planet Earth is a finite space. So that system worked as long as, and people always ask me, well, how is it that all these countries the world over agreed to be part of the system? Very simple. Because the banking cartel came to them and said, look, we're going to give you enough money so that you can grow 3, 4, 5% annually. They said, perfect, that sounds good to us. Unfortunately, you can only do that if somebody prints a lot of money. That's where the Fed comes in. It prints a lot of money and gives and hands it out globally. But now we've come to the point where they can't do that. So this 4 or 5% growth is done and over. And now the question is, what now? Well, what now is what we see in global conflict, struggle for survival, wars, you know, people destroying countries, be it Chile, be it Ecuador, be it Peru, the United States, Hong Kong, Lebanon, Syria, Libya, Afghanistan, just point, you know, France, England, just point anywhere on the world map, and you're going to have struggles and wars and conflicts and people getting killed and bombings and terrorism, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not about ideology. It's a conflict for the survival because the system which has controlled the world since 1944, as I explained many, many times on the show and in my book, In the Shadows of the Presidency, that model, Bretton Woods, that model is dead. And now we have to find something else. And unfortunately, the struggle we're seeing, and it's not just a struggle, it's a mild way of putting it, you know, an all-out war between the Federal Reserve of the United States and Donald Trump is the fight between the liberal banking cartel that controls the Fed and is the enemy of the United States, and Donald Trump was trying to do something right.
You said that you can't assassinate your enemies in America. I think Hillary Clinton might disagree, but that's just that's
well, I know, but you know, it's something to be said. Again, I'm not in favor of dictators. But there's something to be said when you can run the country, you know, for the betterment of the entire country, you know, for greater good. And if you have to get rid of certain element of society to make 90% of it feel better, you do it. Otherwise, the entire country gets wiped out.
Well, there has to be a standard in morality. I mean, even
it
back
doesn't
in the
exist
record
when you're talking about liberal banking finance.
Right,
that's
exactly.
You know, you can be a giraffe today and a zebra tomorrow.
You know, another thing in this discussion about we're bringing America into a kind of history, Christian, whatever. America certainly was a Christian nation in the revolutionary times. People, it's like they have this disillusion or something. The Americans, they told Britain, we don't want you here. We want our own way of life, and we will beat you to death and shoot you and kill you and stab you to have it. I mean, there's such a, we have this almost ideological view of it, but they were extremely violent in this morality, in this belief. And we just don't have, I just don't see convictions in this country. We have let whoever it is, the bankers, the whoever, we have let society culture be taken over and hijacked. So the convictions that bore us all this, the inheritance of our founding fathers, we've just given away for basically a bowl of porridge now.
Because most people who run the country of the United States, which is not a democracy, it's never been a democracy. I don't know what people are talking about.
It's a republic.
Are traitors to the, you know, to the concept of nation state, and needless to say, they're in favor of the British Empire and against the interests of the United States.
But it took a long time, but they had to get the American. See, this is what I've always said, told our audience. These people who are executing what you're describing, and it's obvious that it's happening, they need us. They need you. They need our will. They need our acceptance of this, and by hook, by crook, by deception, whatever, we have to accept this on some level, or they can't do what they want to do.
And
it's not like they're all powerful.
Tavistock, Hollywood, fame and fortune, easy money, et cetera, come in because, you know, they've destroyed a society with very strong moral principles. Because the United States has always been a traditionally conservative society, and Donald Trump is a right-wing conservative, just like Putin is, which is why the two leaders, the United States and Russia, you know, get along splendidly, and that's why the global financial banking elite is working overtime to make sure that the two of them never see eye to eye, because, again, both Putin and Trump, Putin is not a Soviet commie, he's not a Marxist, he's a right-wing conservative. And that's why Trump and he always get along, not because Trump works for Putin, okay, but because both of them have very strong moral values.
We got about a minute before the break, and on the other side, we're going to get into the Fed, the global struggle that we're seeing. There was basically the result of the breakdown of these values. That's basically what we're seeing. For our audience, one question I do want you to answer, you know, how should they take this? You said our society, our culture is destined to die because of what we're seeing. I mean, how should we be running into a, you know, a bunker, a hole in the ground? I mean, how should we take what you're saying?
Look, you know, capitalism, despite all the supposedly spontaneous markets, significantly exaggerated and mythologized, you know, even the so-called mid-Victorian markets of the 1850s to 1870s, is nothing more than a regulated social institution, just that this regular or reguled system was well camouflaged. It's a project, and a project that is far from always being successfully implemented by a relatively small number of regular relationships of individuals, groups and structures acting in an organized manner in accordance with long-term plans. And all of it out of the open, okay? And it's right in front of us, and we're seeing how the country is being destroyed. Be aware. Make things happen. Believe in something greater than, you know, your individual rights and freedoms. Believe in greater good.
Well, America, I would agree that there is nothing greater than our rights and our connection to God. See, that's what meant. See, let's talk about that on the other side. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops. We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. 817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Welcome back to the Power Hour. The Power Mall is where all the great products. We've got some specials and things to for you to look at. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look, December is our worst month always because, Chris, I understand you're not thinking about your health. You're thinking about giving cheap crap from China. Just kidding. Well, not really, only partially. Please consider us. That's our worst month. We got to pay the bills no matter what. We need your support. We don't get a check from George Soros. We get checks from you. I've said that over and over. But really, it's a plea, it's a call, but it's also to praise you and to understand your position. In the world, if you want truth, if you want independence thought, if you want Daniel Estelin on here talking about these profound, where can you have a discussion like this or hear a discussion like this? If you like this, if you want this, then, you know, basically you gotta support us, you gotta buy something from us. Everybody brushes their teeth, I assume, I hope, buys some toothpaste from us. Just go buy some toothpaste, among other things. We have the Eye Complex. We have, of course, the Strauss products, the Strauss Heart Drops, the Cold Storm, the Smooth Oregano, the Vitamir. We got bundles for Vitamir Oral Care. My mother used to put in stockings like, you know, that's where deodorant and stuff like that would go. That'd be a great stocking stuffer. A Vitamir bundle, the Silver Shield deodorant. I don't know why my mother would put deodorant in there. I guess it was her way of, I don't know, buying me socks or things. I don't know. But anyway, that'd be great to put in stockings. New customers, they get 10% off their first order using the code FIRST10 at checkout. We got a lot of new listeners, so we really appreciate you. We have a lot of different ways to listen. ThePowerHour.com, TalkStreamLive.com. You can also go on 701-300-5252 to listen live or just repeats 24 hours a day. We appreciate you. We love you. We want you happy, we want you healthy, we want you successful, and we want you free as God intends you. Thank you so much for everything, for all your support, and you're welcome for what we do here at thepowermall.com. Check it out. I know that you need some of those products without question. Getting back to Daniel Estulin, we're going to finish this up and then go to the Fed. So people understand really the war really centered on this Fed here and what that means in the IMF and central banks really all over the world, not just America, but kind of put a bow on this. In America, individual rights, the concept of our Creator and giving us the basics of the Bible, this biblical ethic that God created man, gave man fire, so to speak, gave man imagination, creativity, and rights. That's self-evident. That's obvious. It doesn't even need to be argued about. Government's only position, only righteous or only sustainable position is to protect those rights. That is the American ethic. Don't believe me? Just read the Declaration of Independence. So in this greater discussion, what we're saying, the individual rights have to give way to a greater good. The greater good in America is that I have an endowment by God. You have an endowment by God. The other person, Hillary Clinton, has an endowment by God. And so the greater good is to protect everybody in that position and the ability to exercise and live in that realm. In America, that was and is the greater good. So maybe address that before we move on to the Fed.
I think you said it perfectly. It's, you know, the concept of community of principles. The pilgrims survived when they came to America, although so many were killed and died of hunger and of cold. But they survived because they worked together. I mean, yes, you could talk about individual rights, but individual rights at the expense of community is egoism. And the early pilgrims survived because, again, of the concept of community of principles. Everybody working together as a community because they had a common objective. That common objective is only reachable if everybody works together, and that's what's missing today, and that's been replaced by a liberal banking financier values where it's me, which is greater than us.
Well, the more I talk to you, and you've taught me a lot, Daniel, and just really refined some of my perspectives on different things, but I'm certain of it now. There is no way for America as we're not just America, but other places in the world. There is no way for America to continue on the path we're on because we're so divided. Division, diversity is not strength. Diversity is fragmentation. The fragmentation we are seeing, the lack of real certain morals, the lack of really our inheritance, our heritage, there's no way this can continue.
Again, if it does, there's not going to be much left of the United States as a nation state. You're going to have 5-6 countries, smaller, much smaller United States, whatever you're going to be called after the Civil War, you know, trying to somehow join forces or work individually or disappear, which is, again, the same thing could happen to us in Russia, which is why we're all praying that Donald Trump wins the 2020 elections, because if he doesn't, we lose a pillar of strength and the guiding light, you know, for the revival of a new world.
A lot of our listeners may take offense to that, and, you know, on some level, maybe I do even, that Donald Trump's almost like a savior figure, but the messiah figure. But the more
the reason,
I think
let me
about
explain
it,
why. The reason Donald Trump, you know, for the saner minds out there, we need Donald Trump because Donald Trump is the president of the most powerful country in the world. If Donald Trump was president of Italy, I couldn't give a hoot if he was, you know, lived or died. It would make no difference to any of us. But because he's the president of the United States at this particular time in history, and this is once in a lifetime chance to actually see someone like that, not because Donald Trump is a Republican, because he's not a Republican president. He's a president. He's the face of an alternative global project. Okay? Donald Trump isn't a person. I've said it many times before. He's a face of a global project, alternative to liberal banking financier project. And he only became possible a Donald Trump presidency when after the 2008 Lehman Brothers global financial collapse, alternative forces to the liberal banking financier forces, started moving their candidates to a position where they could challenge for the presidency. They couldn't do it before because the liberal banking financier, parasitical global Wall Street-based cartel, controlled the entire edifice of global economy. People are going to say, no, but the Republicans had that, George W. Bush and his son and Reagan and all these other people. All these people, they're part of the same liberal banking financier model. There's no difference at all between George W. Bush, between Ronald Reagan, between Bill Clinton, between Barack Obama. They're all part of the same liberal banking order. The only difference is the abortion rights. Everything else is part of the same liberal model based on the Bretton Woods. Trump, no. And we're seeing the consequences of that, how he's dismantling, absolutely dismantling Bretton Woods, a petrodollar, and going against the Fed. And this is a very important moment in the history of the world, which is why, again, we need Donald Trump, the president of the United States, because without him, Russia will be dismantled into 5, 6, 7, 8 different serfdoms because we simply are not strong enough to survive on our own.
Are you concerned at all about this impeachment? I know you've said it, but it's just...
I'm not concerned at all about the impeachment because Donald Trump is going to win the 2020 elections. My only question is if the Democratic Party is going to actually survive after the elections, because all this Americans, again, generally speaking, the United States of America is a conservative country. And if you look at the map of America in 2016 elections, it's a sea of red. Which means that for a few large enclaves such as Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York City, where you have obviously a lot of people living
Chicago.
In these places, most of the country is Republican red, and so this is going to the situation of the impeachment is always going to exacerbate the situation, and more people are going to vote for the Republicans than they voted for them in the 2016 election. So my only concern, I'm not concerned, my only question is, will the Democratic Party exist after the 2020 elections or will it disappear?
We saw the Kentucky, I don't know if you followed in Kentucky, the governor's race. I'm looking at that. I'm seeing the exit polls. There is no way on God's green earth that the Democratic Party won Kentucky with an honest election.
It doesn't make a difference because, again, Trump wins the elections in a landslide. And as I explained before, they can't kill him because he's the face of a global project. Behind Trump is Blasen Soil, a European land aristocracy, the Vatican, the Rothschilds. These are the people behind Donald Trump. Kennedy didn't have anyone behind him. He had no cover. Trump has a lot of cover, and the people behind him are infinitely stronger than anything that the other side, the liberal banking financiers, can put up. So, no, they can't touch Trump because these decisions are made at a very high level, above presidents, above the intelligence agencies, at the level of global projects. Okay, and the CIA and the NSAs and the Mossads and the MI6s, they execute the orders, but the decisions are made and taken at the round table of global projects. And no one ever will give permission to kill someone like Donald Trump.
Okay, you say the CIA. We're seeing the deep state within the CIA is like an enemy of Donald Trump. Is there a split?
Split because, again, the intelligence, who is behind, the liberals, who is behind? Again, Clinton was the face. On their side, you have Silicon Valley at Hollywood. You have the intelligence agencies. You have mainstream media. The Soros, the Rockefellers, Wall Street, the bureaucracy. These are the people and groups behind Donald Trump, behind Hillary Clinton. And behind Donald Trump, you have the Rothschilds, you have the Vatican, you have European aristocracy. Again, we're talking about blood and soil. We're talking 1,000 years of history.
Okay,
it's uncomparable.
So Rothschilds and the Vatican behind Donald Trump, that doesn't give me a warm fuzzy.
Well, I mean, it doesn't. We're not talking about good and bad because it's like, who do you want to be eaten by, Godzilla or King Kong? Okay, it doesn't really matter. What
so it's the enemy today, of my enemy. This is Sun Tzu.
What matters today is that we need to get rid of the liberal banking financier global cartel.
Okay.
Unless we do, you know, they will destroy the world. And that's what would have happened had Hillary Clinton won the presidency. Because their only way out is Third World War, thermonuclear war, because wars write up debts and responsibilities. And when you have $4 quadrillion debt, that's 4 and 15 zeros, the only way you can get rid of that, if you can start a war and you have force majeure and you can just get rid of a lot of people, which is why, again, these billionaires are building $100 million underground bunkers. If you had $100 million, what would you rather do? Buy an island and have a drinky pool and look at the sunset, you know, or live like a rat underground? What is it that they know that we don't?
Okay.
Again, the point is, we have got a point right now where we have to understand that it's not, the war is not between countries. It's not between left and right. It's not between liberals and Republicans and the Democrats and the conservatives and the liberals and, you know, the Green Parties and the all these other groups out there. It's between two global models, the liberal banking financier model on its deathbed, okay, and an alternative model which is yet to be defined, but need to be defined, and it will be defined at the end of first term of at the end of first year of Trump's second term, where the projects that have conceptuality defined will sit down at this round table of history, and that'll be the United States with Donald Trump, Russia, China, India, and maybe someone else, but for now only four. And they will define the rules of the game post-Bretton Woods. Call it Bretton Woods 2, call it Yalta 2, call it whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter right now. We don't have a name. We don't have an alternative project or the language to describe it today. But we need to find it, because without it, we're all going to hell.
All right, what you just described on a macro level, the basically the battle, the great, I mean, this is Game of Thrones before us, this is Lord of the Rings right before us, what have you. On a micro level, I'm feeling this, and it's been, you know, I've tried to figure out a way I can say this to my audience. You're doing a much better job than I am describing this, but I'm trying to describe to my audience right now, here we are. If your values, if your heritage, if your children, if your any, it is all on like Donkey Kong, right? Literally, the battle of the ages, the biggest a biblical battle you want to say, it is on right now. Am I exaggerating? Because I don't think I am.
It's the Hulk Hogan against the Ultimate Warrior.
Andre the Giant.
Absolutely. Again, what we're seeing right now is a split, not along party lines, but between ideological global financial lines. We have the isolationists and industrialists. On one side, that's people behind Donald Trump. These are the people who actually improve the lives per square kilometer of space against nature, because they build things that you can touch. And on the other side, you have the liberal banking financiers. Again, these are speculators and parasites who play with numbers on a computer, who don't produce anything at all, or live at the expense of. And that's why all these degenerates and you know, these people on The View and whatever that Rastafari lady, black lady called, you know, she used to be in films, now she just makes
Whoopi
a fool of herself
on
television. I can't remember their names because they're, like, not important. I'm afraid that, you know, I'll remember her name, it'll get stuck in my brain and won't let me sleep, okay? So I do everything I can to not remember their names. But the point is that, again, it's the fight between these two ideological visions of the world, people who produce and people who live at the expense of.
Okay,
we need to
last
get rid
question.
Of these people.
All right, last question on this, and then I have to get to the Fed. We got about 10 minutes left. Last question quickly. In this fight for this new system, this new dialectic, this new whatever it is, this way of looking at the world economic, Bretton Woods is dead. The liberal banking finance, it's going to die one way or another. Okay, within this, what I'm trying to get across to people is the discussion about what the new morality is going to be. What are the ethics? What are the standards of this new culture that is being formed out of this war? And it is a war. It is right now. And everybody who's listening, they're taking part in this development of this new morality. If you value the values that you have, if you want them to continue into this next program, you have to assert them now. Right now, you cannot let your children give them over to a bunch of devil-worshipping psychopath perverts and think that on the other side that what you value is going to continue. Am I right or wrong?
Go back to, You know, we've had 1,500 years of conservative values. We've had 40 years of liberal degeneracy. I mean, we're seeing how society is moving in the direction of left or right wing conservative, but they're conservative. Right wing is the United States. Right wing conservatives is India. Right wing conservatives is Islam. Right wing conservatives are the Vatican, and the left leaning conservatives is the Soviet Union. It's the only country in history which has been left leaning conservative country. But again, liberalism is dead. They simply can't survive. They can only survive as long as they can print money. And one of the reasons they need to get rid of Donald Trump, because he controls this little machine that prints money. Unfortunately, something you and I don't have, the emission center. And so we're going to go back to traditional conservatives one way or another. It's just the question is how many people will die in the process of us, transforming the world from the liberal banking back to conservatism.
All right, I'll leave it there. But I agree with you. But at the same time, people are dying of fentanyl overdoses and heroin and the no family.
People die.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It is a war. But you know why it's a war, Daniel? This would stop before it even started if we kept our morals, if we kept our bearing, if we kept our ground. What we haven't.
Our enemy is not Russia.
I agree.
You're American, I'm Russian, but our common enemy, the enemy of humanity, is not Russia or China or Venezuela or Mexico. Our common enemy is the British Empire. It's the only empire out there.
Oh, wow.
The British Empire,
these are
the pirates, the drug-dealing, psychopaths.
That is so profound.
And until we understand that and start, and this is what Donald Trump is doing, and understand and destroy the British Empire, then all our troubles will go away.
All right, we got about literally about 8 minutes. Okay, the Fed, Donald Trump, back and forth. He wants negative interest rates, low interest rates. He wants Powell out of there. What is important? What do we need to know? What's going on with the Fed that we don't know?
Well, the question is, how can Donald Trump use the power of the presidency to subjugate the Federal Reserve of the United States? Because for decades, the Fed has been acting more like a mafia syndicate than a financial stabilizer of the American economy. I think it's important to understand that the U.S. dollar has been globalized by the U.S. Federal Reserve as the precursor of the strategy now being implemented in the Americas, and by that I don't mean the United States, I mean the Americas, the North and South America. For example, back in the early 1990s, just when the Soviet Union fell apart, a financial accord authorized Citibank under Federal Reserve de facto management to lend to speculator George Soros to shatter targeted currencies. So Soros's currency warfare can be thought of as an invading shock troops deployed to destroy resistance in the form of national credit. The incoming dollars are the occupying forces which follow the initial shock attacks. This has been the pattern in Latin America, in Eastern Europe, in Russia, in China, and now it's being directed against Western Europe via the repeated successive assaults on the European exchange rate mechanism, which started back in 1992 when Soros destroyed the British pound. Dollarization is the precursor to the kind of arrangements the Federal Reserve was overseeing, for example, in Mexico. How did it work? So dollars were being shipped out of the United States in record amounts, not only through transactions in the drug trade and illegal economy, but also through the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, the biggest bank, in collaboration with the big money centers, such as, for example, the Citibank, and organized crime-linked Republican National Bank of New York, of gangster now very dead, Edmund Safra. Okay? What is absolutely shocking is that at present more than 60% of U.S. physical dollars are no longer inside the United States but floating around abroad. So this is about 2 out of every 3 dollar bills are no longer kept in the hands of American citizens because the dollar has been internationalized. There are 2 reasons for the flood of dollars outside the U.S. to the point that only 1/3 of physical U.S. dollars are actually in America. First is the illegal underground economy dominated by drugs. Now, drugs annually move about $950 billion in cash transactions. Drug traders, dominated by the London and U.S. banks, are siphoning off the physical dollar, especially the $50, $100 bills, into countries such as Colombia, Peru, Mexico, Hong Kong, etc., etc. Second, the Federal Reserve, Citibank, and since the early 1990s, the Republic Bank of New York, and also Chemical Bank, have been shipping dollars out to places like Russia, Argentina, China, Indonesia. So the Fed ships out the dollars on its own, but generally they're shipped with the big banks or when the big banks place an order. So, for example, a bank such as Citibank places an order. The Fed bundles the dollars into, you know, these big wrappers, and then the bundles are then bound together in bales. Then these are trucked out, ships, airplanes, and sent abroad. While it is clear that the physical dollarization of economies destroys them, it is equally true that the process of destroying the United States is exactly what the Fed is doing right now. It is by no means a symptom of the resurgent strength of the United States in a post-Cold War world, as some have claimed. The outflow of physical dollars feeds the growth of the category of international dollars. These dollars, again, two out of every $3, which are not in the United States, including physical dollars, dollar-denominated American treasury bills, dollar-denominated derivative instruments, in a sense, you know, distinct from domestic American dollars. And these are being turned against the United States itself. So the United States is made to dance to the tune of those who hold them. And this is something that Trump is working hard to change. And Trump is against this, and he made it known. Okay? Question, is it just possible that the deep state has yet another reason to hate him? Well, we know that this is the case. I'll give you another example. I think we have a couple of minutes left. What we have seen thus far in terms of the bankers' takeover of the economies of Latin America is only the beginning. The central banks, for example, Mexico and Argentina, both have in place arrangements with the U.S. Federal Reserve. In the case of Argentina, domestic currency issuance is tied to the volume of dollars in circulation. Argentina's central bank can't issue more of its own currency unless the U.S. Federal Reserve ships down some dollars. So just to give you an idea, in Russia we have the same problem, which is, again, why we need Donald Trump to win and why we need for Trump to destroy the Federal Reserve, because in Russia we are not allowed to invest in our economy in rubles. Dollars is not our money. Our money is rubles. We cannot invest in rubles in Russian economy to build our country up. We can only invest in American dollars. And this is what we're fighting against, the global liberal financial cartel.
Oh, my gosh. This is unbelievable. We'll get into it more the next time you're on. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And I want to encourage people, you know, no matter what you hear, no matter what you feel, I don't want you to leave you overwhelmed or feel like an ostrich in the sand. You have divinity within you. You have rebellion within you, too, but you have divinity within you. And the future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to those of faith.
Yes.
The future belongs to those with belief and a mooring and a conviction. Conviction is king. The currency of the future is belief, faith, and conviction and love. But certainly all those things, certainly conviction. I want you happy.
Amen.
I want you healthy. I want you successful. I want you free. Get your mind right. Support us. Support yourself. Support your family. And support love and truth. Daniel, it's a pleasure. God bless you, my friend.
Likewise.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9-